before we get started, I want to shout out our sponsors here on the BCP. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online and at the Englishtown Flea Market in Englishtown, New Jersey, on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Blue Building. Get your wrestling stuff, retro video games, G.I. Joes, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. It's our favorite store. Thank you, Heather and Dan, for sponsoring the show. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Mania Club. Established in 2015, Mania Club is a WWE-recognized community for fans with an eclectic love for both the world of professional wrestling and raising money for Connor's Cure. During WrestleMania weekend, we host the official tailgate of WrestleMania while also celebrating the life of Connor McCulloch. They're the single largest donor within the V Foundation for Connor's Cure with over $150,000 raised. Please donate and join the Facebook group over at Mania Club. Donate at jimmyv.org/maniaclub. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Shout out, Kelvin. Check out the No Gimmicks Podcast. Wrestling All Day, All Night is the best wrestling discussion group on Facebook. We provide more of a community feel here and have wrestling fans introduce other fans to something they may have not seen before, such as old school wrestling, indie wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and more. We also strive to be a source for information regarding upcoming wrestler meet and greets and signings. And remember, we're open 24/7, all day, all night. Be sure to follow on socials and join the group on Facebook at Wrestling All Day, All Night. The BCP is also sponsored by Warriors of Wrestling. Warriors of Wrestling proudly presents Intergender Warfare. It's going to be at St. Finbar Catholic Church, 1839 Bath Ave in Brooklyn, New York, Friday, November 10th, featuring Miranda Eleze, Taya Valkyrie, Zaya Brookside, Giselle Shaw, Darius Carter, Vicious Vicky, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now at warriorsofwrestling.com, and don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Please welcome in our new sponsors, the Sweet Chin Musings Podcast. Sweet Chin Musings is the creation of the reigning, rarely defending, highly disputed champion of wrestling podcast, Mr. Perfect Mike Mueller, and his tag team partner in crime, Luke Kudialis. SCM focuses on the in-ring products of WWE and AEW. No dirt sheet rumors here, as well as backstage news, predictions, and analysis of characters, storylines, and major pay-per-views. Old school fans, don't worry, we have you covered too with a look back on classic matches, top 10 lists, and interactive tournaments that let the fans decide who is truly the best of all time. You can find us on Facebook at Sweet Chin Musings, and be sure to check out the podcast on all your favorite podcast major streaming platforms. We also got to shout out our new sponsors, the United States Department of Nerds, the USDN Podcast, a podcast presented by Dat Feeling Podcast Network, LLC. The USDN Podcast is run by Jeffrey T. Fountain, a BCP Plus contributor, Jennifer Johnson, Eric Johnson, and Tay Stith, and is also home to the Queens of Nerdom Podcast. USDN Podcast is a safe place for all nerds where they can come to be entertained, learn, and embrace debate. USDN prides itself on being by the people, for the people, and of the people. Here at the USDN, we strive to bring you the best content we can find where you know it comes with the USDN seal of approval. We always strive to give you factual data, and if it's a rumor, we'll always preface it with the rumor alert before dropping the freshest info. However, once those rumors are proven true, you can bet your money we at USDN are slamming the stamp down and giving it the USDN seal of approval. Hit our links on social media for all our merch. This ad is USDN approved. The BCP is now sponsored by the international shiny star, Ray Kalitri. Kalitri has honed his craft traveling and wrestling all over the world, including destinations such as Mexico, Peru, Puerto Rico, and even Egypt. The ISPW Tri-State Champion and Golden Ticket Holder is also one of the longest reigning ECPW Light Heavyweight Champions in history. Kalitri also holds an international championship that he won in Mexico. Always known for his appreciation of world culture, the Shiny Star is also known for his taste for high fashion, lavish lifestyle, and fast cars. However, he is most prominently known around the globe for his unparalleled in-ring acumen and skill set. Be sure to follow Ray Kalitri across the board on social media, at Kalitri Ray on Twitter, at PAP1Fresh on Instagram, and Ray Kalitri on Facebook. Guys, please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the show, GPW Productions. GPW provides your promotion or event with top-tier video and audio production, live streaming, and more. I can personally vouch for them in saying they're hands down the best production company I've ever worked with, as they continue to work with the likes of AEW, GCW, StarCast, MLW, not to mention the majority of the local independent promotions here in the tri-state area. They can even help you film a vignette or promo for your persona or gimmick. And guess what? GPW doesn't just work in wrestling. They cover MMA, boxing, basketball, or any other sporting event as well. Guys, on a personal note, as always, I'd like to thank Mike Sesko, Frank Leone, O'Neill Andrews, and the team for giving me multiple opportunities to work with them and some of the best talent in the world. Book GPW for a promotion or event today at contact@gpwproductions.com. Thank you to our new November sponsor on the pod and the site, BCP Plus, the Rock and Wrestling Collector, located in Stockholm, New Jersey, featuring all of your favorite rock and wrestling collectibles. This is owned by ISPW head honcho, Mr. Tommy Fierro. The Rock and Wrestling Collector makes its grand opening on Black Friday. Don't miss it, and be sure to follow at the WC Store and at 80s Wrestling on socials. Let's rock. Please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the month of November, Pro Wrestling Magic. PWM presents Holiday Road to Kingdom Come at the Mecca in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and streaming on IWTV on November 25th, featuring Cheeseburger, Darius Carter, Adina Steele, Ruthless Lala, Steve Pena, Kerr, Vinny Pacifico, Death Row, Hispanos Unidos, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsor for the month of November. Savage Kingdom presents an epic Swerve Strickland signing on December 29th in Flushing, New York. Come meet and greet one of AEW's top stars, podcast hosts, and musicians over at the Wrestling Universe. Pre-purchase link in comments for the tickets. And on a personal note, thank you, Greek Savage, for the support and always helping with our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the podcast and the site, Crusaders Collectibles, wrestling games, live signings, and more, and Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook. Crusaders Collectibles is your destination for some of the best signings, live sales, games, and more. They are mostly wrestling, but you may see some other items at times. We are a family here and want everyone to be treated like family. You'll be able to find custom edits, photos, figures, cards, belts, pops, and more here. Many of those will even be autographed. Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook features amazing auctions, sales, pick events, and even mystery drawings for some truly unique items for any serious wrestling collector. Be sure to join the group and get in on the fun. On a personal note, I'd like to thank Emil for all his support of the BCP and our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the month of September, Bubba, Kim, and Gabby, BKG. This family consistently shows their love and support for wrestlers on both the independent and national level, reminding us what this is really all about. Bubba's been a strong supporter of the BCP, primarily in our charity work, donating multiple items, time, and effort. Thank you, BKG.
This is Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and you are listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into it. Let me close the window here. A very impromptu on the road edition of the BCP as I'm making my way back home on the long drive from WWE Survivor Series War Games 2023. Lots to talk about and very excited to talk about this one. First and foremost, thank you to WWE for the opportunity. You know, we've been covering WWE on the pod for years, and now with the new site, we've been covering SmackDown weekly, some NXT here and there, and of course, all the major PLEs. So check that out over at bcp-plus.com. But I want to thank everyone over at WWE for allowing us to be a part of Survivor Series and cover the event, be a part of the media scrum afterwards, which I'll talk about as well. So just again, general thank you. And thank you to everyone for the kind messages and support. You know, certainly, like I always say, not about me. You know, we always try to make it about, you know, the performers, the talent. We want to have, as we always say, championship journalism on the BCP. And like I say to my team members that graduated us, or excuse me, sorry, long drive, congratulated us, or congratulated me. You know, this is a team effort. This is a win for everybody. And Looking forward to covering some more WWE events in the near future. And just very, very, as I always say, proud of our team, the way we conduct ourselves, the interviews that we have with some of the best talent in the world on the national level and the independents. So thank you again, WWE. Great event, Chicago, Illinois, Survivor Series, War Games. Let's do a quick little rundown review, kind of my thoughts. I'll say this, Allstate Arena, I had heard it was one of Austin's favorite arenas to work at in his career, and Triple H confirmed that it was legit his favorite arena to work at due to the great crowd, and the Chicago crowd did not disappoint. I don't think I'd ever been to a wrestling show. I'd been to StarCast. I worked a couple months ago. Shout out GPW Productions, one of our sponsors. Shout out Conrad's team, Premier Streaming Network as well. Excuse me. Sorry, impromptu on the road. But the Chicago crowd really, really delivered. And the acoustics of that venue, as Triple H said in the post-event press conference, which we'll talk about in a little bit as well. Great acoustics and apparently a wooden roof. He mentioned something like that, so that's very cool. As a drummer, I appreciate that attention to detail when it came to the acoustics in the room. And one thing I noticed, even before the event started, great shape for the arena, great acoustics, but the crowd with the CM Punk chants, the Orton chants, the woos, like, there were a couple times where it was hurting my ears a little bit, and this is before the show even started, so I knew this was going to be the real deal, and it certainly was. We started out with which I think was the match of the night, the Women's War Games match. I mean, so many things off the top of my head, and forgive me if I'm missing some things, but Bianca Belair literally came out swinging. I love seeing this edgier side of Belair. You know, she really is the EST in all departments, like I said on our review over on BCP Plus. Again, check it out, .com. I said she came out swinging, and it wasn't her fists, but it was that ponytail we hadn't seen utilized in some time. She came in whipping everybody. You could just hear the crack of the whip ponytail on everybody. A double suplex, deadlifting some opponents. So Bianca really impressed, as always. We've been very high on Bianca since the EST of NXT days. She can do it face or heel right now, and great to see her team up with the likes of Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch. Where else can we go? Charlotte with that picture-perfect moonsault off the top of the cage. I wanted to ask Cody in the press conference. I didn't get an opportunity to ask him. I did try several times, but a lot of media there today. I was just happy to be a part of it. But my question for Cody was going to be about, obviously, a Flair and a Rhodes being in a War Games match, respectively. And, you know, I know it's a protect Cody at all cost situations, but how bad did he really want to secure that moonsault off the top of the cage spot like we had seen him do on Wardlow over in AEW? So that being said, Charlotte's moonsault was picture perfect, never disappoints. I was wondering if she's going to throw the corkscrew in there, but that would be very hard to execute from the top of the cage. We've seen her do that before, and just picture perfect, one of my favorite spots of the night. Not to be outdone, Io Sky, one of my personal favorites for a long time, off the top of the cage with a patented trash can spot. I like the way she brought the trash can up with the chain, put it on her head, or put it over her body, say, and just throwing caution to the wind. Like, that takes some level of courage, not to mention just athleticism and trust. And great job by all the ladies being right there to catch her. So what an amazing spot. Shotzi, like we said on the podcast, showed out. We knew she was going to impress here. Did not disappoint, really just throwing caution to the wind. Aerial, most of the time, lots of variations of basement drop kicks, flying drop kicks. What else stood out? Io Sky with that double, almost from rope to rope, a la like a Rey Mysterio. Not quite a springboard, more of a running attack, if I remember correctly. I popped for that. It's the little things. What else can I say about this match? The Kabuki Warriors, Kairi Sane
just looks fantastic in her motions in the ring. Like, a lot of crispness, a lot of flow in what she's doing. And her, and I believe it was Io, did the, I'll call it a pop-up insane elbow. That was really, really cool. I popped for that, no pun intended. Really great spot. I liked where Bianca had delivered the, and I think Shotzi kind of ducked down before it, the fire extinguisher to Asuka a la The Mist, kind of a Revenge of the Mist thing. I thought that was brilliant. But honestly, my favorite part of the match was the hug between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Recently on the podcast, check out the interview over at bobculture.podbean.com or over on Apple Podcasts, shameless promo, we interviewed Kerr, former Pro Wrestling Magic Heavyweight Champion. And Kerr said, you know, he's a moments guy, and it's not always about the moves, it's about the moments. And I saw that here tonight when Charlotte and Becky were getting fired up, and it was, they kind of looked at each other, and it just, 3-2 hug, you know, it was just right there. What a moment, big pop from the crowd. For me, that was the spot of the night, honestly. It was so good, moment of the night, I should say. And yes, I know there were some other big moments, but for me personally, I thought that was great. So I did want to ask them about that in the presser as well. So, and you could even see Becky getting emotional a little bit, talking briefly about that in the press conference, which I'll throw up on YouTube. I think I just threw the Triple H portion of that up there, and Cody are both over on the YouTube channel over at Bob Culture, the Bob Culture Podcast YouTube. Shameless promo. This is just a giant commercial. I kid. So let's talk about that match of the night. For just amazing match, amazing storytelling, amazing spots. The order was great. Even seeing Shotzi and Becky work together, little things like that. I'm so happy to see Charlotte and Becky on the same page. And just the four ladies on the top of the cage at the end of the night, or at the end of the match, I should say, celebrating. That was very, very cool. If I remember correctly, after that, there was the Ruffle Shuffle, essentially commercial with R-Truth returning, which was a great pop from the crowd. I love R-Truth, so I was so happy to see him. One of the big returns of the night. And great to see Alpha Academy involved with Pretty Deadly. And then, I don't know if it was now or later in the night, there was a segment or a tease that Orton was going to no-show the event, or wasn't picking up the calls, or he's not here yet. So they were playing into that, which kind of teased, will he be here? You know, maybe. I think even the crowd started chanting CM Punk again. Crowd so, so loud, like I mentioned earlier. And I forgot the crowd chanting for the table all night was a big storyline as well. We want tables. And sure enough, I think Asuka finally brought off the table before she did. She did a thumbs down and really played into the crowd. Little things like that. Absolutely brilliant. Moving on, and again, this is all off the top of my head, as I'm on the road here doing a very impromptu podcast. I apologize if the audio is so-so, if that, and you just hear sounds from the road as I'm cruising here. I don't even know if this is still recording. I think we're recording. I think we're good. All right, moving on. Shuffle the microphone around here. All right, so I believe it was Miz versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. The Miz, as we said on the podcast, pulling out all the stops, the springboard offense, beautiful tilt-a-whirl head scissors. Really had a plan against Gunther going into this one, jumping out of the ring and tying Gunther's legs up on the ropes around the steel post. He had a plan, even going low with a low blow. I think the turnbuckle pad had come off at one point. Really doing everything he could to get the advantage, and even hitting a skull-crushing finale successfully. Just not enough, though, to dethrone Gunther able to kick out, and I believe a couple power bombs, and maybe it was a Boston Crab type submission, maybe a one-legged, or from a two-legged to a one-legged. I'm trying to remember correctly, but a Miz either tapped out or I think he tapped. I'm trying to remember. In a fairly shorter match than I thought it would be. This is a very NXT TakeOver layout, lots of surprises and solid five matches that all got good amount of time, but the War Games matches really got a lot of time, so the three matches in between were shorter than I thought they would be, and I'm not complaining. Got out of there fairly early after the press conference, so great job all around in timing and surprises and pacing and work rate and matches. After that, I think it was Dragon Lee versus Santos, which was an awesome match. I wish it was a little bit longer. Again, crowd fully behind Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee chants. Dragon Lee's got it. You know, he could be, and I hate to make just comparisons, but, you know, he kind of got the blessing from Rey Mysterio in some ways, and I think he could be the next popular Rey Mysterio Lucha Libre type performer in the WWE. That the call-up was fairly quick, all things considered. Great match here. He worked fantastic with Santos. Not to take anything away from Santos, this is a much better heel. I'm not sure why Carlito was pulled or audible. I don't know if it was an injury or storyline. I know they had said what he was attacked. I'm trying to remember. And Aldis, I think, made the call for the substitution. Or Dragon Lee stepped up to Aldis. I'm trying to remember on SmackDown. A lot of traveling this week. A lot of wrestling. But nevertheless, great match by both competitors. Santos ultimately getting the win, as we thought. And interesting to see where this story goes from here. Moving on, we go to, I believe it's the women's match. And I hope I'm in order here. Zoe Stark taking on the women's world champion, Rhea Ripley, who's always on top because she's not only number one in the PWI 250, get the issue now, shameless promo, the vicious one, number 185. So keep an eye on that. Maybe she'll sign a copy for you if you buy it. Shameless promo. I'm terrible with this stuff. Getting back on track here. Mommy seemingly unstoppable. No one really able to dethrone her. And someone, you know, and I have nothing negative to say about Rhea. It's all positive. I think we can all agree. We just wish we had more of her in terms of defending the title a little bit more. But really just nitpicking, because her work with Dom and the Judgment Day, even later in the night, is just phenomenal. Her wrestling fashion, from everyone I've heard that works with her and knows her, you know, Casey Navarro, I know, did a workout with her a couple weeks ago after the big event or before the big event, says she couldn't be nicer, just great human, and I heard that echoed from some people at Survivor Series as well, which is awesome to hear, which is really, really awesome to hear. But she did great against Zoe Stark, who the Andy Smart said on our show, who he thought Zoe was going to get a look. He was right. Zoe showed up, showed out. A lot of innovative offense, a lot of high-flying, springboard, crossbody from the top. You know, pulling out all the stops here. Zoe's got a couple moves. Even her finish is great. But a couple moves that I've never seen before from anybody else. So always a pleasure watching Zoe. You have the high-flying, innovative style taking on the powerful, dominant, even technical. Rhea can do it all. You know, great matchup, great contrast of styles here, but ultimately, Rhea hits the Riptide. We knew she would. I think Zoe may have escaped one Riptide attempt, but Rhea gets it. And again, a little bit quicker than I would have liked. Actually, in terms of the storytelling here, Zoe fairly newer to the main roster, obviously being under the wing of Trish for some time now, maybe more of a baby face. I like the pairing of her and Shayna that we've seen in some backstage segments. I'm interested to see how Zoe grows on the promo end of things, but in terms of the offense, I'm a huge fan of Zoe Stark, and great to see her get a look here against the unstoppable Rhea Ripley. So solid match. Ugh, as I'm yawning here. All right, next up, we had the men's War Games match. I still think the women's match was better in terms of just the spots and storytelling, but this was solid. Basically, the long-term story here, or of the week anyway, is Randy, this, not surprised, but the announced fifth member? Yeah, that's right, fifth member for, we'll call it Team Cody, Seth, Jay, and it's super late. Sammy, of course. How can I forget Sammy? Who I think started out the match? No, Sammy didn't start it. It was Finn and Seth. Finn and Seth started out the match. Basically, one by one, they go in until the last countdown, and we're thinking, oh, you know, is Randy's music going to hit instead of Randy just sitting in a cage? Did Randy show up to the arena? Is it a no-show? What's going on here? Sure enough, Rhea Ripley's music hits. She comes out with the Money in the Bank contract. Now, this is actually very smart. It works on a lot of levels. And it begs a lot of questions, too, which I like because it's different and it's interesting. You know, I like different. She comes out. I'm thinking maybe she's going to wedge the briefcase or get it into the cage somehow or hand it to the official or something like that. Would this be a good time? Hypothetically, if this all went down to play, this is in the middle of a War Games match. Can you cash in the middle of a match? Will the outcome of this match reflect the positioning of Seth's World Heavyweight Championship? Those questions would not be answered because shortly thereafter, Orton's music hits. He comes out to a huge ovation. There may have been some CM Punk chants when the countdown went through. So I think it was conflicting CM Punk and Orton chants, which was great. And sure enough, out comes Randy Orton. Dude looks like $1 million. Every move he hit was absolutely crisp. I mean, he had the, I want to say it was JD, someone off the, maybe Finn off the top of the cage into the RKO. Picture perfect. Even the power slams, even the clotheslines from Orton just looked great. Like, no ring rust whatsoever. It'd been over a year. Great to see him healthy back in rare form. Excuse me. Pulling out all the stops here tonight and just really overtaking this match. I'm trying to think what else. A great performance by everyone all around. I think just off the top of my head, the spot, we knew Dom was going to come in towards the end. The boos all around for Dom, but also the group beatdown on Dom was a pop of the night contender in my mind from the crowd, is all four members of, we'll call it Team Cody, Seth, Sammy, Jay, ganged up on Dominic. What else did I want to say about that one? Drew McIntyre, picking up where we left off here, a little editing, on the road again, impromptu BCP review, on the road back from Survivor Series as we approach the road to WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. I was talking about Drew McIntyre, man. I just want to say, seeing him in person, I've seen him a few times before, but he is the real deal, man. The guy looks like $1 million, looks like the giants of old in the WWE, WWF. Chiseled, great in-ring performance, man. Face, heel, whatever it is, he can do it. I was just really sold on Drew. Not that I wasn't. But particularly after this performance, even just seeing him walk into the ring, like, after this performance, man, very believable that he could and did eliminate Brock Lesnar from the Royal Rumble. Very believable that he did and could defeat, you know, the likes of a Brock Lesnar. So, interesting to see his journey. You know, obviously, sad that he never got his moment in front of the fans. He did get his moments, but in my mind, not in front of the fans. Moving on. So really great stuff. I don't know if I had mentioned this. I'll check in the edit if I had said already, but the yeet punches from Jey Uso, I was wowed by those. Obviously a callback to The Rock, a little bit of a tease there. Obviously his family, so I'm cool with it. The swagger on the one yeet punch, the crowd really behind the yeets. The thrusts in the corner, the old school, a hip attack, whatever you want to call it, a la Rikishi, Umaga kind of stuff. in the corner, very cool to see. I love it. I think it's perfect for Jay, loving his singles run, really coming to his own as a single superstar. He's been great for a while. The Usos, one of the greatest tag teams now in history, for sure, no question. Obviously, the win goes to the babyfaces, Orton, with just, like I said, the stellar moves, but essentially handing the dub over to Cody, allowing him to hit the crossroads for the win, which I think meant a lot to Cody, but ultimately, ultimately, Cody talks about their relationship with the oppressor and says how much Orton meant to him and how much the call him and Orton had really meant to him. He got a little bit emotional talking about it, in fact, in the presser afterwards. So, again, check that out over on the Bob Culture Podcast YouTube channel. It'll be up there. All our social channels, I'll be posting all the media scrums as soon as I get home. Really solid match. I still think the women's took it for the night. Great to see the baby faces celebrating. Now, I just want to point out that as media members at that point, we were taken to the media scrum room while they were celebrating. So that also leads me to believe that a lot of people in WWE, and again, this is just based on my personal experience, this is just my opinion, but it leads me to believe that not a lot of people knew that CM Punk was in the building or going to be part of the show. And I don't know how many of those people in the War Games match standing there knew he was going to come out, if any. And again, just speculation. But based on the media scrum, the people who did a great, fantastic job, run a really tight ship, took us to the media scrum room to wait for Triple H. We're in there with Byron, and we kind of hear a pop from the crowd. We're behind closed doors in a different room. And I didn't think much of it, but someone had said, Punk's here. And I think it was those exact words. CM Punk's here. Punk's here. And what are you talking? Is he behind the curtain over there where we are? Or, did you see his stuff? Or, is there some evidence or what's going on? And sure enough, we can kind of hear the music coming through. And I think that is a Cult of Personality. And sure enough, someone pulls out their phone and there he is. He's standing there. I couldn't believe it. You know, we all went on not on record, but we all said on the pod, we didn't think it was happening. For multiple reasons, I'll get into that probably in a little bit. But wow, man, CM Punk back in the WWE, certainly a headline there. I've shared my thoughts on Punk over the past couple years on the podcast, and I'll give him this, the respect in terms of him changing the business and always keeping it fresh and interesting and going against the grain and being a bit of an anti-hero at times and doing his thing, and really, I think is somewhat responsible for the reality era and social media era in this business, believe it or not. Really breaking the fourth wall with that pipe bomb, your doofus son-in-law and things of that nature, and really just making it a lot more real while letting us in a little bit, I guess is the best way to put it. But I've shared my thoughts on Punk on the show. From what I was told early on, many years ago, is that he was problematic in ROH before he had gone to WWE. Obviously, we know what happened with WWE, now with AEW. So this is a calculated risk, as Triple H had said in the press conference. And when asked, he basically said, "Hey, it'll be exciting to see what happens with Punk," not really giving us anything and that's not a knock, as Triple H was absolutely phenomenal with the media. It was a pleasure to be in there. He was great, but he's steering the ship, a little bit of narrative control, which I get, a little bit of selling, and him being kind of not nonchalant, but kind of not giving us a lot in terms of that. But what he did say was, "Hey, it's been 10 years-ish, I'm paraphrasing here, people change, people grow, I've certainly changed and grow, and we're both on an even level playing field, and we start fresh." So, calculated gamble here by WWE, who's already doing great business. Again, I think he said sponsorships are up by 20% something. Sold out crowd tonight, I believe. I think one of the biggest Survivor Series in history or for this arena. Really just good stuff all around, win all around. So business is good, locker room's good as far as we know. But this is a calculated risk in my mind. It's one of the top free agents, which is a no-brainer. If I'm putting on the business hat, I think it's a smart play. I think it's a risky play, but I think it's a smart play. You're bringing in, you know, WWE, in my mind, is more of the family product, obviously, of the two. If we're comparing WWE and AEW, I think with this, you're bringing in more of the older fans that may have left when Punk left. You're bringing in some of the AEW fans that may have been mad when Punk left. Or you're maybe just bringing in AEW fans in general. And when I say AEW fans, I hate the thought that there's WWE fans and AEW fans and that's it. Like, I love both programs. I've been enjoying AEW for a long time. I try not to miss it. WWE, I really have been enjoying SmackDown every week and definitely been tuning into Raw. This pay-per-view has really just got me excited on the road to WrestleMania as we approach WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. Can't wait for that. We'll be involved in some form or fashion for some of the activities going on there and tailgating and whatnot. So we'll keep you posted on all of that. That being said, calculated risk. Like I said, you're bringing in not a different audience or a new audience, but you're bringing in the Punk fans. You're bringing in some of the AEW audience that may have stopped watching WWE. You may bring in AEW audience that's never watched WWE. You're bringing in CM Punk fans, which is, in my mind, is a little bit older crowd. So this is interesting, but business is booming. Calculated risk. Level playing field, as Triple H put it, but is it a one-strike-you're-out situation? I'm sure there was a conversation. Triple H had said very few people knew about it, which, again, I believe based on the fact that we were taken to the media scrum room before the biggest story of the night happened, which we did not see or feel, you know, or get goosebumps or I don't know how to put it, like, or be able to react to in the place, in the moment. And I'm not mad at it. It just leads me to believe that very few people in WWE or working that event knew. And that may include the talent and the talent in that War Games match. Another reason I believe that is because Byron Saxton, who did a fantastic job, always does, dressed to the nines, when he shot it to whatever clip, I think it was the Women's War Games, automatically and quickly pivoted to the clip of CM Punk. And he pivoted and said, no, we're going to go to this instead. Which is very uncharacteristic of WWE. Probably inaudible in his earpiece. Again, I'm just guessing here. Because that moment he had shot to literally was seconds ago. Like, it had happened seconds ago. Maybe a minute. I don't know if Byron knew. That's just my experience. I won't even say opinion. That's just my experience there. I feel that not a lot of people knew. Triple H said him, Nick Khan, and maybe a few other people knew. Like I always say, the music guy had to know and the graphics guy had to know, right? I think the question is, did the performers know? And this is where we get into the, hey, like, what's genuine and what's not? You know, work and shoot, as they say in wrestling terms. Wrestling. It's interesting. The reactions overall, this is just my judgment, seemed very, I don't know if genuine is the word, very, like, maybe caught off guard. Everyone was just kind of, you know, big moment. I think Cody's music was playing, and then Punk's Cult of Personality, Living Color comes on, and everyone's just kind of staring, like, looking at the at the stage. I think Orton, like, waves casually, and I don't know if he feels some sort of way. Like, this was kind of his big return, and then, you know, minutes later you have Punk returning, but, you know, whatever, he's doing his thing, sits down, kind of waves, takes a chair and just kind of sits down, which I thought was kind of funny. And the thing that's odd to me is just, like, everyone's just kind of staring. Like, no one's overly animated, no one's, like, really selling something. Like, they are in the fact that they're reacting and kind of staring, but, like, no one's really selling or being over the top. Like, you see Seth start to pace a little bit, which we'll talk about very quickly, very shortly from now. But even, like, the bad guys and the judges there are just kind of staring, too. So you kind of have the good guys, the bad guys, most of them. I think everyone mostly was in the ring at that point. And they're all just kind of looking, and it was almost like what they had just done, not say it mattered less, but, you know, the good guy versus bad guy-ness was taken out of it a little bit. And again, this is a really good thing. This is a good surprise. Like, R-Truth coming back, CM Punk, Orton, all this. It was a really good thing. Great, great show, but not to nitpick, but it just seemed like, it felt like not everyone knew. Like, you know, we learned with Gargano, like he always says, wait for the lower thirds, right? Don't trust those lower thirds. And Punk comes out. What a reaction. And then the report that I had read when I got back from the arena was that there was an issue with, not Punk, but Rollins reacting to Punk. It had to be not held back, but maybe held back by Michael Cole and somebody else. Seth Rollins was not happy. This I had read was like a gorilla. Even Sean Ross in the tweet, and this was, he's a source, Sean Ross app, and said, you know, this is pro wrestling, so who knows what is what. You know, this is just what I've been told by two sources or whatever. Yeah, you know, Sean Ross, I would say one of the most trusted sources. So that's what we got for that. So then, I see the video, what, this morning, of Seth being restrained by Michael Cole and Corey Graves after the match, outside of the cage. Graves is holding the title, which I thought was odd. The fact that Corey and Cole, and again, this could be very calculated move, are holding Seth back, made it seem very impromptu, made it seem very off-putting, made it seem very like something here is not right. And then we see the gestures from Seth Rollins, the middle fingers, the strong language, very non-WWE television-like. So that to me wasn't, red flag's not the word, but was very, oh, this is, a little edit here, talking about Seth Rollins' reaction to, that would have been a good place to put an ad, actually. Thanks to our sponsors, CM Punk, the mannerisms, and again, I like to run scenarios, I don't like to jump to conclusions, right? I certainly don't have the facts. And again, it's a great problem to have because everyone's going to be tuning in to Monday Night Raw, which is what you want at the end of the day. So very, very interesting stuff. So we have Seth Rollins with these not WWE-type gestures, language, seemingly an emotional reaction to Punk returning. So let's run the scenario that no one knows. In my mind, I do believe that very few knew. So either Seth did not know, or Seth was given, hey, you know, someone's coming out at the end, react, wait till the cameras go off and do it after the fact kind of thing. It's a smart play. Again, Michael Cole and Corey Graves being the ones to restrain him seemed odd. Why were they in that play? Maybe they were walking back. It seemed very odd. Also, another report of, I think Nunes brought this to my attention. I've been traveling all day, so I'm not 100% on this, but something about Drew getting out of Dodge real quick, packing his bag, something like that. Don't take my word for it. That is, I don't want to put something out there that's not true, but I think I was informed of something similar to that situation. Again, could be just leaning into a storyline here. In my mind, Punk versus Seth is the obvious go-to, even without this happening. But let's run the scenario that no one knows, aside from Triple H, Tony Khan, obviously the music guy and the graphics guys. They have to know by default. Very few knew, came together last minute, so says Triple H. All right, we'll believe you. All right, so let's say that's the case. All right, that's what we're running with here. Nobody knows. We're doing our happy ending celebration. And sure, you know, Orton's big return. And sure enough, CM Punk comes out, huge ovation, headlines right here. I'm watching Seth. one point of view when he comes out. And like I said earlier, everyone's just kind of looking at the stage. But Seth, you kind of see, I would say, pacing. Like, he's pacing while everyone's looking. Like, I don't know if that's anger building or he's, again, performing here. Interesting, though. And if he's performing, brilliant. By the time the cameras are off, we get the video, which we've seen, of Seth cursing, MFers, strong language, middle fingers, right at Punk. I think Punk waved either to Randy or to Seth. I don't know what was going on. A little bit of silly, a little cockiness there. But Rollins, say in this case, say he doesn't know, emotional reaction, very non-WWE. You know, I'm sure he waited for the cameras to go off and to lash out. And hey, like, now we have a bunch of social media videos. I'm sure he knew that would happen. Plays into a great story, though. Maybe, you know, he had an interview in the past with, I believe, Nick Houseman. Shout out House of Wrestling on Premier Streaming Network. And he had said, you know, Phil was a problem here. He's a problem over there. Let, you know, stay there. Don't come here, Phil. Philly, Phil, whatever he said. So, again, then that's more of a smart fan thing. You know, not on TV storyline. So, in any case, it makes sense to lean into that. There's already tension there in Punk competing, not against Roman, but for a major title. Arguably the secondary title or one of the top titles. No disrespect in the WWE. So let's run the scenario that Seth does know. Maybe it was like, hey, he's coming out, like I said earlier, give a little reaction. Maybe he got in his feelings. Maybe it was a little bit more than he wanted. Maybe they told him to do exactly that. It's strange to me. I don't like to speculate or jump to conclusions. I certainly don't have the data or information. It could be a little bit of both. It could be a little bit of both. You know, not everything's always one way or the other. There's always that gray area. And maybe a little overselling by Seth. Maybe, you know, he's supposed to do a little something. Maybe he got emotional. Maybe it, you know, when it happens, you're in the moment. And again, these guys are just in a War Games match. Adrenaline is probably super high. So it's interesting. It's really interesting, in my mind, a great problem to have in terms of story, in terms of business. At the same time, though, if there is an issue and people didn't know, like, I'm always a proponent of not working your locker room. And I understand. I do understand, like, you have to keep things secret because of, well, the media, of all people, right? I totally get it, you know? You don't want things to be spoiled because everything's spoiled. How are you going to enjoy the show? How are you going to have a surprise? And what a surprise, and what a well-kept surprise. But at what cost? If there is an issue, again, I'm running the situation. If no one did know, if Drew packed his bags early and got out of town, if Seth really felt that way, and, you know, it's a trust thing, you know? And again, this is an if, you know, I'm just running this scenario. It's, you know, we ended the show, we were going to end with the win and the celebration, and then, you know, we weren't even told how to react to this, or we weren't told this is happening, or, you know, he's known to have rubbed some people the wrong way, so they might not want that in the locker room. They might not want that in their company. You know, these are the people who are colleagues and you know, trust their lives with each other. So it is very, very interesting. Like I said, Monday Night Raw, which is going against football again this week, is probably going to get an amazing rating. You give CM Punk that microphone, what is he going to say? We know the things that CM Punk has said in the past. You know, like I said earlier, kind of breaking the fourth wall a little bit. Do I see him? And if I'm him, I'm a little bit more careful. He's going to get some jabs, and the jabs are going to be non-direct, but towards Bucks, Hangman, perhaps TK. I don't think he should do any of that, but there'll be some petty jabs. It's almost a last laugh kind of a thing. There'll be some jabs, and I would be careful with him on a microphone. He can say some stuff, man. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to be this Monday, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a point where he takes a cheap shot or out of left field, or, as we've seen in the past, a little comment here, a little, you know, a little headline here, a little dig at the other company or the EVPs or TK or being fired or anything like that. And, which, again, is on par for the character, but I'd be careful. Like I said, it's a calculated risk. It could be great business, bringing in a lot of fans. It's ahead of WrestleMania or a Rumble. This is a cool move, storyline-wise. And again, I'm not the biggest Punk guy in the world. You know, I've shared that on the podcast several times. But in terms of making moves, growing the roster, getting top marquee name talent, especially in Chicago, this was a little bit of a no-brainer. Hopefully the move, hopefully everything that's been reported is not a problem, is not real, and everybody's working, which is a great storyline. You don't want to, like I said, it's tricky when you work the locker room. You don't want to lose that trust. And again, I'm not an in-ring performer, but I'm involved in several independent promotions and work with a lot of in-ring performers. And I think there's a, in terms of the business, you're trusting each other in the ring with each other's safety. But, I'm never a fan of any promoter work in the locker room. And again, I understand that there needs to be things kept under wraps and secrets and all that. But you got to kind of find that balance. And that's just my opinion. I'm so glad that the rumor was not, or nothing was leaked, nothing was known. There were, I think I'd seen reports of a Cult of Personality remix appearing that day. Lots of little hints and clues, but Triple H saying it happened a little bit more last minute than we may have thought. So CM Punk back in the WWE, stellar. Absolutely stellar Survivor Series. Glad to be a part of it. Glad to do the media, make the trip. Get to be a part of that press conference. We hope to do a lot more. We got Rumble coming up. We got WrestleMania 40 in Philly. Again, BCP will be involved in some form or fashion over at the tailgate. We'll be doing our thing. Probably podcasting, reporting, hopefully covering the event in all forms and fashions. And guys, just thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe over on the Bob Culture Podcast YouTube. Lots of great interviews there with the likes of, Johnny Gargano, Jake the Snake Roberts, Tommy Dreamer, Dave LaGreca, Velvet Sky. Oh, man, the list goes on. Luigi Primo, Anthony Bowens, Chris Statlander, Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters, our guy Casey Navarro. So many. Bobby Fish we just had on. Matt Cardona. So many more. Check it out. Or go to bobculture.podbean.com for our podcast, or check us out on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think of the show. Make sure you subscribe. And lots more content coming up here on the Bob Culture Podcast and bcp-plus.com, covering 8 NFL teams regularly, which means by default we're covering their opponents they play each week. Very excited about that. We have Blink-182's latest album, One More Time, review over on the site. We also have our weekly SmackDown column, some NXT on there. We have our AEW Top 10 from our buddy Kelvin, from the No Gimmicks podcast, one of our sponsors here on the BCP. Of course, our full Survivor Series coverage as well. Check it out at bcp-plus.com, bcpplus.com. And guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.